Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Clearwater's Great Hudson River Revival is taking place this coming weekend at Croton Point Park in Croton-on-Hudson, New York. This year's festival will include performances by Nick Lowe, Arlo Guthrie, Los Lobos, Toshi Regan and Big Lovely, Josh Ritter, Joan Osborne, and many other great acts, including our guest, the Suitcase Junket. Western Massachusetts-based one-man band Matt Lorenz creates music on restored, salvaged, and fully invented instruments created from old instruments and found objects. His latest album, Pile Driver, came out in April on Signature Sounds. She had nice sweet potatoes and cornflower hair, a strawberry mouth and a peach on the hair. I said I could just eat you all up all night, now down on the ground, cause the girl's got fight. Matt, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Tell me how you first got into music. I understand that you started pretty early.
Yeah. I think I was maybe 4 years old when my parents got a free piano. You know, people are always giving away pianos if you can move them. And my older sister started taking lessons. And as soon as she started playing, I was like it was like a magnet, you know. In the early days, we would fight over who got to play the piano, because as soon as she started playing, I wanted to play, and vice versa. So it started on the piano, and then for some reason, I got it in my head that I wanted to play the saxophone. I think I must have seen somebody playing it, and it didn't really make any sense at the time, but the public school said that I had to play violin first, which didn't make any sense.
I don't get that at all.
Me either, but I'm glad they did. You know, I played it for a few years. You know, basically, I played it until I was allowed to play saxophone, and then I more or less put it down. But I've picked it up recently, and I definitely play it more now than the saxophone. Yeah, after that, it was finding an old guitar in the garage that had two strings on it, and my sister and I would sort of pick out Beatles tunes on those two strings and sing songs. And I owe a lot of it to my sister, because I just sort of wanted to copy her.
A lot of your instruments that you play now as the Suitcase Junket are reclaimed or made from found objects. Could you tell us specifically about a couple of the unique instruments you've created to make your music?
Yeah, the newest couple members of the band are this one instrument that works much like a hi-hat, except instead of two cymbals, the bottom sort of cymbal in place of that is this sort of old wooden cheese box. Mm-hmm. And on the top, it's an old 8mm film reel with a bunch of bones and silverware and little sort of knick-knack things hanging off of it on strings. So when you push the pedal down, all of those objects drop into the box and make this wonderful sort of clunk, rattle sort of sound. That one came about sort of by accident. I dropped that box of stuff. I had it around for making sort of visual artwork and some stop-action animation stuff. And I dropped it one day and loved the way it sounded, and so I had to figure out a way to make it drop on command during a show.
That's fantastic. Is a lot of what you do sort of kismet?
Yeah. And I a lot of my inspiration comes from play, you know, and improvising with objects and sounds and stumbling across things. You know, there's a whole slew of sort of can drums that I play with my left foot that are, you know, things I came across either, you know, going to the dump and bringing stuff home, or one of them I was changing the blade on the table saw. And I dropped the old blade, and it made this wonderfully pure sort of bell tone as it hit the ground. And so that was another one of these. I'm noticing that the dropping of objects plays a large role in
my
inspiration.
I was going to tease you that it sounds like your clumsiness benefits you greatly in your art.
Yep. And so that's one of the, I use that sort of bell sound almost like a crash cymbal, you know. And it's one of the sounds that people scratch their head about the most, because it's this sort of, you know, this stuff is happening mostly with my feet, you know, so it's sort of a drum set of sounds down where my feet are, that people can't really see them. So when all of a sudden this dinging sound pops out, you see a lot of people craning their necks in the audience.
I imagine you get this a lot, but it really does sound like there is, if not more people hidden behind you or hidden in the studio that at least you must be looping, but you're not.
Yeah, that's always been sort of part of the challenge and the inspiration behind this project was sort of, well, how much sound can I make without using any of these modern sort of looping effects or other people? And some of that was, I was in a band and started writing these songs on this guitar that I had found, and the songs weren't, I knew they weren't for that band, and so I started just playing them on my own and stomping my feet. And I was noticing as I was keeping time with all these sort of incidental movements I was making with my body, it's like, well, if I'm moving my feet, I might as well be getting sounds out of them. And that's sort of an idea, as we were talking about earlier, that sort of, you know, accidental discoveries, you know. So right now, my left elbow is the one that I've been thinking about because it moves around and no sound is coming out of it. So I'm considering maybe some like bagpipe bellows or something. I'm not sure.
So speaking of sounds that come from a place that is confusing, you also, in your music, do like throat singing, which if you could, because you'd be better at it than I am, describe that to people, what that is, what it kind of, it's sort of a drone and a tunefulness, and how did you discover that you could do that or learn how to do it, and tell us more about what exactly it is.
Yeah, this was another sort of accidental discovery. I was in college and I took a sort of month-long South Indian cooking class, and I learned some words that had what linguists would call retroflexed R's. And so the best way that I can describe it is you say the letter R with the tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth. And then I was driving around in the car and, you know, singing in the car or in the shower, you feel a little bit more free than in other places. And I made this sort of shape with my mouth and heard this really quiet overtone, and then chased it just in the car for probably 5 years before introducing it to any sort of structured music. But the basic idea is you're humming a note and you're moving your tongue in these really small motions, and your tongue is creating a shape in your mouth that breaks up the note you're humming into the harmonic sequence. And so you get a pattern of overtones that sound almost like whistles. And when you do it, you know, especially into a microphone, it doesn't slide between notes the way a whistle would. It sort of jumps between notes because there's a set pattern. The way that music breaks is always the same relative to the note that you're humming. And so when you hear it happen live, it almost sounds mechanical or electronic or something. And when I learned how to do it, I felt like I joined like a very old human club, because I think people have been doing it since they, you know, since we've been sitting around fires and making sounds with our mouths. But the Tuvans have a whole culture, musical culture built around overtones. And I've sort of had my blinders on, and I'm planning to learn as much as I can from myself and then sort of jump into their world, hopefully, and learn some stuff from them.
One of the songs that features it is from Make Time, not your most recent album, but the song is called Twisted Fate. I heard the song and was like, all right, what does this look like when he does it? And lucky for us, there is a video of it on YouTube that I'll also share on the post of this interview at WAMC.org. But I also just wanted to say the video is recorded at Beehive Production Studios in Saranac Lake, New York, a couple years ago. Saranac Lake, New York is my hometown.
Hey, I love that town.
So you're playing the Clearwater Festival, Riverlink Summer Concert Series in Amsterdam, the Green River Festival, coming back to Massachusetts for the Fresh Grass Festival at Massamoka. You are going to be very, very busy this summer over the next few months, traveling all around North America. Do you like that? Are you keeping healthy and happy on the road?
Yeah, I do. I do like it. You know, it's it definitely. I also like home. You know, so it's this sort of back and forth, and it works out pretty well. I keep saying yes to everything. We'll see how long that'll last. But you know, I figure while people are asking, I'm willing. But yeah, life on the road can be a little bit wearying, because I'm still doing it myself. I've got a little van that I built a bunk into, and I've got a little space that I can sort of clear my head and feel like I've got a little home. But I'm still driving it all myself, and you know, I'm playing the shows, and I'm out there slinging the merchandise afterwards. So it's sort of like working three different jobs.
The music is fantastic, and I am very grateful for your time today. Thank you so much for talking with me about your work.
Thanks for taking the time, Sarah.
The Suitcase Junket will play Clearwater's Great Hudson River Revival this Saturday. The festival lasts 2 days. He'll play Riverlink Summer Concert Series in Amsterdam, New York on July 1st and will be at Green River Festival in mid-July and the Freshgrass Festival at Massmocha in September. To learn more and to find all those concert dates, visit thesuitcasejunket.com. His most recent album, Pile Driver, is available on Signature Sounds. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.